Amen. As some of y'all already know, Brother Sims, although he loved to preach, he gets nervous about preaching God's word. Because I never want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit working as the word is being presented to you all. So before I even get into the word, I want to take this opportunity to thank my leaders, my elders, for giving me this opportunity, for trusting in me to bring forth this word. Brother Morgan's always an encourager. He always calls and tell me, hi, how you say that, Brother Morgan? Caruso, that word, Brother Sims. Caruso, that word. So that's what I plan to do. And I want to give honor to my wife, thank her for just being patient. I think I've shared this plenty of times. We go through something when I'm studying and trying to prepare for a lesson. So sometimes I just lock myself in a room so I won't get yelled at. As you all know, I'm coming out of Judges chapter 8, verse 18 to 21. Judges chapter 8, verse 18 to 21. Judges chapter 8, verse 18 to 21. I did have a PowerPoint prepared, but the person who turns it on for me was not here, so we still going to get this lesson today. All right, Judges chapter 8, verse 18 to 21. Follow along as I read. And it says, then said he unto Ziba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If ye have saved them alive, I would not slay you. Verse 20. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Verse 21. Then Ziba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Ziba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camel's neck. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the more time two people spend together, the more alike they become. Soon your speech becomes more gentle and kind. Your fair or your face mirrors the joy of Jesus Christ. And your attitude and your motives become more pure, and your actions become more focused on submitting to the true King. The character of God never changes. Thus, it is completely reliable. What great comfort you and I have in submitting to the true King, Jesus Christ. No matter how our life changes, no matter what new situations we face, God is with us, which makes you and I kings and queens. We can always count on his unchanging promises to help, guide, and take care of us. What we have to realize is that being royal is great. Kingship is a gift from God. That's why some of us need to keep silent, because I'd rather be proclaimed a king or king in Christ rather than self-proclaim myself as a king and king in Christ. Kingship is the basis for reign. That means we have to know the truth of God's word. Kingship is a project that brings life eternal. This is why true kings and queens in Christ are kind and humble. Not arrogant. God does not focus or force us to be kings or queens. We must be kings of our domains so that we can knock down the door of righteousness, so that we can know the love of Christ. This means we have to imitate Christ so that we can inherit everlasting life. That means we need to be near God so that we can have nobility in our behavior. But if we don't have nobility in our behavior, then most likely we're not near God. And if we're not near God, then maybe we've fallen short in our responsibilities. This is why we study in Jonah or Judges chapter 8, verse 18 to 21. Because the goal of the author is to reveal Israel's cycle of sin. But the purpose of the passage is so that believers who read this passage, we can avoid Israel's continuation in sin and their failure to fully get rid of any evil in their life. This is what led them to their ongoing oppression. This is why we have to be near to God so that we can have nobility in our behavior. Because when we put what we can pull out from the passage is we have to always be in a position to fully get rid of anything that's contrary to God's will. This is why we have to get to Jesus no matter what, so that we can be godly in our character. And that means we have to say yes to God so that we can separate ourselves from the world. Too many of us, we try to come in here in the church and act like the world. But we don't go in the world and act like the church. And that becomes a problem. Let me give you an example. Now, many of y'all know that I'm going through something at work with my supervisor. But I'm going to be okay because God is on my side. But I know this one particular time she came to me and she said, "Brian, I need you to complete this task." And I knew in my mind, I said, "Wait a minute, that's against policy." I said, let me repeat it. You want me to complete this task?" She said, "Yeah, I need you to complete this task." I said, "That's not what policy says." She said, "Don't worry about what policy says. Just do what I say." But I knew if I did it, if it came down, if the stuff hit the fan, I was going to be the one in trouble. So I went back to her. I said, "Okay, I'm going to do what you said, but I want you to email me that request." She said, "Don't worry about it. Don't need to do it. Don't even worry about it." Why are you telling us this story, Brother Sims? Because a person who can reign within themselves and rule over their fear is a true king from the real king. See, I could have just said, "I'm going to just do what she say." But I got to show that I'm a king and king of Christ, and I got an authority that's over you. I don't think y'all understand what I'm saying. The title of my lesson is, "We are kings and queens in Christ." Bow with me as we approach the throne of grace. Oh, gracious Heavenly Dope Father, we approach the throne of grace thanking you for this wonderful, glorious opportunity. You allow each and every one of us to be here this morning so that we can receive a portion of your word, so that we can take it out into this dark world, oh Father, and shine a light so bright that we can attract more souls to Christ. Father, right now, help us to endure any hardships that we are facing, oh Father. We ask that you would give us what we need to hear, oh Father, to allow us to go back out this week so that we know that you are walking behind us, you are walking in front of us, and there are times you will be carrying us. So Father, right now, we ask that you remove any distraction out of our way so that when we hear this message, we just won't walk out and say, "What a lovely sermon," but we walk out and say, "I have been changed." So Father, we ask that you continue to be with us, to continue to allow us to give you the sacrifice of praise that only you can receive, oh Father. So be with us, continue to love us, and continue to guide us in the direction we need to go. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 3 points I want to make this morning, and then a lesson to be yours. 3 points. The first point is the purity a king shows. Or I should say the purity a king and queen shows. The purity a king and queen shows. The second point is the pressure a king and queen faces. The pressure a king and queen faces. And the third point would be the power a king and queen possess. The power king and queen possess. First point, the purity a king and queen shows. Look at verse 18 of chapter 8 of Judges. It says, "And thou art, so were they, each one resemble the children of a king." Now, if you have not been following the reading when we read it, Gideon asked these leaders, these kings, that's leaders over the Midianite, the enemy. He asked them, what were the men that you killed? And he's telling them they resemble children of a king. And Gideon says, those were my brothers. If you had not killed them, I would not slay you. See, what we have to understand is true kings and queens show purity and they walk with Christ. So in order to show purity in your walk with Christ, a true king and queen must resemble Jesus Christ. To show purity in your walk, a true king and king, a true king and queen must represent Christ. See, a king or queen follows the commands of Jesus Christ. A king or queen joyously follows the commands of the who is over them. A king and queen behaves like Jesus. The conduct of this king had to be rooted in love and kindness. A king and queen speaks in the name of the Lord, because they can display purity when they speak in the name of the Lord. So in other words, when they speak, people who receive their message know that they have the love of Christ in them. Too many of us, we harsh with our response. And the receiver is wondering, is that the devil or is that Jesus? See, through repentance, we will be fresh and clean in the presence of God. That's why we have to understand that we are purified when we obey the truth. This is why we have to preserve his will and his ways so that we can prevail against the world. And when we prevail against the world, that means we have to be undefiled before God so that we can be utterly consumed by Jesus Christ. This is why you and I have to rest in God's law so that we can rejoice in our hearts. But if you're not rejoicing in your heart, you're not resting in God's law. And if you're not resting in God's law, then you're not rebuking your flesh. This is why we're studying Judges chapter 8, verse 18, because the goal of the author is to show us or to give us a lesson in justice. But the purpose of the passage is for us to understand that even in victory, divine justice has to be shared. And anything that is responsible for an evil act that's contrary to God's will, it has to be held accountable. And what I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, our carnal-minded thinking is an enemy to us as kings and queens who's trying to show purity in our walk with Jesus Christ. This is why we have to rest in God's law so that we can rebuke our flesh. Because what we have to pull out of the passage is we have to always be ready to purge the enemy in our life, because God is going to use our actions as kings and queens to deliver our souls from everlasting destruction. I don't know about you, but I plan to go to heaven. And the only way I can plan to go to heaven is to act right now so that I can have a glorious future. But I have to focus on that future so that I can act right now. So whenever Satan sends an enemy to attack me, I still have to love them. This is why we have to embrace his spirit so that we can endure into everlasting life. And you and I, we have to enjoy our kingship in Christ like a child does a present so that we can enter into his glory. Let me give you an example of that. Turn with me quickly to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 11 to 8. I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. Now, I'm not going to read this whole scripture because I'm limited on time and I can go long, but I'm just going to give you a summary if you're not familiar with it. Here it is. We have 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. And we're talking about King Solomon, the wisest man, because he asked God for wisdom. But God had given King Solomon a command not to go in a certain direction, and even with his wisdom, he ignored God's command. So I'm going to pull out some points here so we can get the gist of what's going on. Look at verse 2. of 1 Kings chapter 11. In verse 2 it says, "For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave unto these loves." So God is trying to tell him, don't take all these wives and concubines. Did I say that right? Concubines. See, I can't say it right because I don't know, I don't even want to participate in concubines. But he tells them to stay away from it because he says they will turn your what? They're going to turn your heart. If I had to pull out a point of this passage, the first point is a true king under God has to know what is forbidden. Because, see, our flesh will divide our hearts from our mind. This is why we have to not give up or not give in to what is forbidden. God had told King Solomon, don't take those women that's not a part of Israel because they're going to turn your heart around. But he let his flesh get in front of him, even as wise as he was. And he gave in to what was forbidden. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says, that his wives turned his heart after God, after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord God, his God. If I had to pull out a second point of this passage, the second point would be a true king under God has to know why it is forbidden. See, our flesh will devour our minds. Well, it will cause us to get down with what is forbidden. See, too many of y'all getting down with what's going on in the world. The world is trying to tell you, you'll have more fun over here than you would in church. And some of us, we go right into it knowing God has forbidden us to participate in that. When I say y'all, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me too. That's why we got to be close to God. That's why I love coming to church so I can be encouraged by my brothers and sisters. Because you all encourage me more than the people out in the world. And you encourage me to follow the spirit rather than my flesh. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11. He says, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord and did as did David his father. If I had to pick out a third point of this passage, it would be a true king under God has to know what is the danger of the forbidden. Our flesh will destroy our spirit. Therefore, do not give up on standing against what is forbidden. The Bible will tell you what is forbidden, but none of us know what's forbidden because we refuse to read our Bibles. Brother Russell said it this morning clearly in the Bible study. We have to educate ourselves. That means you have to study to show yourself approved. You can't rely on me or Brother Fox or Brother Morgan to come up here and preach a lesson and you think you got it and you went out to the world, you got to go back and study that to make sure that you're following it. Also, we humans, you have to make sure that we ain't saying something that God didn't say. See, what we have to understand is purity means looking to God for our standards and not looking towards the world. The world will not give you the right standards. The world will give you a standard that will make you go too far to the left or too far to the right. This is why we got to look towards God so that we can continue to show purity as kings and queens in Christ. My second point, the pressure a king and queen faces, the pressure a king and queen faces. Look at verse 20 of Judges chapter 8. Verse 20, it says, he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Sometimes we got to recognize the stresses of God's command. But more importantly, we got to recognize the significance of his commands. The reason why I say the stress of his commands, because sometimes God's going to tell you something that's going to be hard for you to go through. But when you recognize the significance of that command, you need to push through it and do whatever God tells you to do. See, God offers us a second chance even when we fall short. If you've clearly read or followed along what I was reading, Gideon tells his son Jether to kill these kings. But it said Jether hesitated in killing the kings. And what we have to understand is we serve a God of a second chance. God offered Jacob a second chance because Jacob made bad decisions at each turn during the early part of his life. And if we be honest with ourselves, we got a lot of Jacobs in the house. See, God offered Jonah a second chance. Jonah went to Nineveh knowing God had given him a second chance. Anybody remember when he was in the big fish? And when the big fish spit him out, he went to Nineveh like God told him, but he still had an attitude. You need to do what God tells you to do with joyousness in your heart. God offered Peter a second chance. But Peter used his second chance wisely. As a king under God, my question is, what will you do with your second chance? We must exercise our faith to overcome any and all pressures. And we must overcome any and all pressures fearlessly. And we do that by fortifying our faith so that we can be fruitful in Christ. But we have to understand that we have to accept his will so that we can acquire an abundant life. And you and I, as kings and queens, we need to choose to be changed in our walk so that we can lay our cares upon God. But if you're unable to cast your cares upon God, then most likely you're not choosing to be changed in your walk with Christ. And if you're not choosing to be changed with your walk in Christ, then you're not clothed in his righteousness. This is why we're studying Judges chapter 8, verse 19, because the goal of the author is to encourage us to be empowered with spiritual discipline. But the purpose of the passage is to highlight that Gideon, even in his complex character and his human flaws, his actions was a part of God's overtaking plan to deliver Israel from their oppression. This is why we have to choose to be changed so that we can be clothed with righteousness. Because what we have to get from this passage, what we can pull from the passage is that God will sometimes use us in order to be an example for the world. In order for the world to get out of oppression, sometimes because they don't know Christ, they know you. And Christ should be in you so that when they follow you, they actually follow in Christ to the point where they'll give their life to Christ. This is why you and I, we have to always have our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we can endure to the end. Because as soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, that's when Satan come in like a shark who smells blood. And he will attack you. And if you're not prepared, you will fall short. This is why we have to steal the storms and any pressures we face so that we can seek to know the Lord better. Let me give you an example. You know, on holidays, that's my time to just rest because I do so much. I love to just sleep in on holiday. But 1/4 of July, my wife decided, let's go to Dearborn, Greenfield Village. I said, come on. You know, the husband got to follow what the wife say. We're taking the kids. Okay, I'm going to get up and go. We get up early in the morning because she loves to get up early in the morning. And we go to Greenfield Village. So after I get out of my sleep, I say, okay, this is kind of nice. This is fun. So we go into this one place where they creating glass. And it's hot in there because of the heat. So I'm in there and I'm watching how they make this glass. And one person next to me, he asked the person that's making the glass, that's standing by the heat, that's putting the glass in and taking it out. He asked me, he says, how you know when the glass is ready to be poured out? He said, that's easy. When I can see my image in the glass. Why are you telling us that story, Brother Sims? A king and queen, depending on how they handle their pressure, determines if they break or stand. But you got to have God's image in order to determine if you're going to stand straight no matter what you face it with. Sometimes God got to put you through the fire so that his image can be shined inside of you, that no matter what attacks you or what pressure you face, you're going to come through it like you never went through anything. Some of us, we go through pressures, and we come out of them, we know you've been through a pressure. It's all on your face. And sometimes we don't even see you. The one thing you want to do, you want to stop coming to church, and that's the wrong thing to do. When you're going through something, the best thing to do is to come here so that God, so that you can keep showing God's image. I trust me, trust and believe. Let me tell you this so you'll know. I don't care, brother, if Sister Sims ever say, I'm leaving you, I don't care. I'm going to come right up in here, and y'all going to pray for me and still love me. And some of y'all might let me stay with y'all when she kicked me out. Because I'm going to have the image of God in me. Y'all laughing, but I know y'all love me. That's why you got to be strong no matter what pressures you're facing. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Because that could break me if she decided to leave me. But if I got God on my side, I'm going to get through it okay. Third point, and the lesson will be yours. The power a king possesses. A power a king possesses. In verse 21, he says, rise thou, or they say, rise thou and fall upon us, for as a man is, so is his strength. Here it is. The king is responding to Gideon, who's asking his son to kill him. And the kings are telling Gideon, don't let your son kill us, because we don't get no honor from that. We want you to rise up and kill us, so at least our death can have some type of honor. All right? Just for those who are not following the law, I just want to make sure you have an understanding of this passage. But this is why when we have God's power, it destroys our doubts. We was talking about doubts in Sunday school this morning. When you have God's power, that you're allowing God's power to work in you, not only will it destroy your doubts, but his power will disarm defeat. When you have God's power, you don't hesitate on making a decision. Gideon says, made the decision, I got to get rid of these enemies. See, what we got to understand is Jesus is our strength who makes the weak strong. Jesus makes us strong by providing healing in our mind, body, and soul. So whenever you're facing a situation and you become weak, that's when you got to lean on God. He'll give you that strength to do it. Jesus is our strength who empowers our work. We sin when we choose to ignore and disobey God's moral law. Jesus is our strength who comforts our troubled hearts. And Jesus is our strength and becomes a friend in a time of trouble. Because a lot of your friends, when you're in trouble, they're going to run away from you. And that's how you're going to know who your true friends are. That's why most of my friends are here in this congregation right now. Because I know they're going to stand next to me when I go through some trouble. And that's because of the love we show towards one another. Let me give you one more scripture and the lesson be yours. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I pray that you read it on at your leisure. But I wanted to read 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 8 to 15. But I'm just going to pull out some points. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 8 to 15. Read it at your leisure so that it all makes sense. But look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now, but let me give you some context on what's going on here. Here, Jonathan, King Saul's son, Jonathan, he's on a hill somewhere with his armor bearer. All the armor bearer is his bodyguard. So the enemy is in front of him. So he's trying to decide what he needs to do. He's trying to converse with his bodyguard, should we go up there or should we let them come down here to us? This is where we are, okay? That makes sense? So look at verse 10. He says, if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord have delivered them into thy hand, and this shall be a sign. So in other words, what Jonathan is saying to his bodyguard, if they tell us, come on up here, then that's going to be a sign from God that we got victory and we're going to go up there and take them. Because there's only two of them, and I forget how many, but it's a lot of enemies, and it's only two of them. So you know they got to trust God if they're going up. Here's the first point of this passage. His power is the secret to victory. His power is the secret to victory. Because Jonathan required the presence of God. And when he required the presence of God, God elevated him as a servant through God's power. Look at verse 12. He said, they say, come up after me, for the Lord have delivered them into the hand of Israel. Here it is, Jonathan said, telling his bodyguard, come on, follow me. We're about to take this victory. Here's the second point of this passage. His power is evidence of a relationship. See, we got too many people in the church got a religion and not a relationship. And you need both a religion and a relationship with God to be successful. What do you mean, Brother Sims? Muslims has a religion, but they don't have a relationship. And some of us are just like Muslims here. We have a religion. We come here, we listen to the sermon, we take the Lord's Supper, but we never show we have a relationship when we get out to the world. And then you lack in victory. See, his power is evidence of a relationship. Jonathan recognized the danger of disobedience. So when the men told him to come up, he knew that was a sign from God, so he went up there to fight. Because God exhibited his method to Jonathan. Look at verse 14. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. The third point of this passage. His power, when I say his power, I'm talking about God's power, is the causations of blessings. See, he requested the blessing of God, Jonathan did, and then God exposed the enemy's weakness. See, when you request a blessing from God and you are a king or a queen in Christ, God will expose your enemy's weakness. Y'all don't know right now, but my supervisor on her way out. And she don't even know it. Because God revealed it to me. He told me if I stay faithful, he going to get her up out of there. Because I already got the victory. That's why we got to understand that we are protected by God's power. And then we have to be partakers of his power so that we can be preserved in Christ. But in order to be protected by his power, you got to observe the Lord's day. Too many people, we in here and out, we here one Sunday, we out the next Sunday. We got to be consistent in observing the Lord's day so that outwardly and inwardly, God's ordinance can be kept. And this is why we have to watch our souls so we wait on God's justice. When we wait on God's justice, that means you're watching your soul. But if you're not watching your soul, then most likely you're weary rather than stable in your relationship with Christ. This is why we study Judges chapter 8, verse 21. Because the goal of the author is to show Gideon's transformation. But the purpose of the passage is to highlight Gideon's evolution from a hesitant leader to a decisive king. See, we got to see the difference between Gideon in this verse here and the difference between Jether in the prior verse. See, we got too many people, members in the body of Christ, they operate out of Jether's spirit where they don't have the maturity and they're hesitant in their decision because they're immature. But we got a lot of people in the body of Christ, they operate out of Gideon's spirit whereby they're mature enough to be dedicated in their decision. Gideon says, I got to get rid of these enemies so that I and Israel can no longer be oppressed. This is why we got to watch our souls so that we can receive the wonder-working power of God. Because what we can pull out of this scripture is we got to always be ready to get rid of our enemy. And when I say enemy, I'm talking about your carnal mind and your flesh. Because your carnal mind and your flesh will take you out of here. That's why Gideon, compared to Jether, had victory. And what we can get out of the passage is we have to understand maturity comes from the inside out. And when we understand maturity comes from the inside out, then that means through God's power, we got to be in control of our emotions. Because when we're in control of our emotions through God's power, we can choose deliverance over danger. When we operate in God's power and we're in control of our emotions, we choose light over darkness. When we're operating out of God's power and we're in control of our emotions, we choose rejoicing over regretting. Gideon chose rejoicing over regretting because he killed his enemy so that he and Israel could no longer be oppressed. And what we got to pull from the passage is that we have to get rid of our enemy, which is our flesh and our carnal mind, so we won't be oppressed by sin. This is why you have to exercise self-control so that you can endure to the end. Let me give an example and the lesson will be yours. Now, when I share stuff with you all about what I go through, I share because I show you my scars so you'll know that I was healed by God, so you know that if he healed me, he can heal you. In the beginning of our marriage, me and my wife's marriage, I wasn't always mature like I am now. So in the beginning of our marriage, every other weekend, I would go hang with my friends out on Saturday nights. My wife would tell me, she used to say, you need to stop hanging with them because they're going to get you in trouble. And out of my immaturity, I would say, you just mad because you ain't got no friends to hang with. So one weekend, I'm hanging with my friends. My friends know I don't drink. But what I didn't know was they was determined to get me drunk. And they kept peer pressuring. And lo and behold, we passing drinking. Now, the problem is I got drunk. But normally when I hang out with my friends, I call my wife because we didn't have cell phones back then. I would find a way to call her, let her know what's going on. But because I was drunk, I didn't call her. And I wound up passing out at my cousin's house. So all night she wondering what's going on. My cousin wake me up. He said, Brian, your sister's trying to get in touch with you. I get on the phone. They cussing me out. You know this ain't you. What are you doing? So I jump up. I get in the car. I pull up because at this time we living next to my sister's. When I pull up, my wife and my sister sitting on the porch. Sunday morning. I'm drunk and my head hurting. As soon as I get out of the car, my sister's cussing me out. You know this, blah, 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 blah. I don't even remember the words they said because I don't even want to repeat them. But then when I looked at my wife, she gave me this look that I never want to see again. Because I believe it was the same look Jesus gave Peter when he messed up. She didn't even say nothing. She just walked into the house, got the kids ready, and went to church. Right then and there, I knew I got to change my life. Because the look she gave me, I knew she was on the verge of divorcing me. Right then and there, I had to return to my faithfulness back to the Lord because I was rich in redemption. That means that I knew that if God forgave me, everything else was going to walk, was going to come into place. All right? Because I had one foot in the church and one foot out at the time. But because I was rich in the redemption, I said, now I'm going to change my life. I'm coming completely to church. I'm not doing this no more. So now I got to rejoice, get back to rejoicing in the Lord because I'm rich in instruction. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I knew that I knew the word, but I needed to get back in my studies so that the word can change my life. Yes. So now I got to radiate for the Lord because I'm rich in contentment. Yes. What do you mean, Brother Sims? I was content to cut people off. If you wasn't walking with me to shine my light, to shine a light for Christ, I was cutting you out. Because what I valued in Christ was more than what the world had to offer. Yes. So my friends called me, come on, Brian, let's go. No, I'm not doing that no more. You think you better than us, you bougie. No, I'm just trying to be the better than the man I was before. I'm trying to be better today. And they couldn't understand it. So now I have to rely on God for strength because I was rich in heirship. We have an heirship with Christ, which means we got an inheritance coming in the future. You ain't messing up my inheritance. So you want me to hang out with you? Come to church with me. No, I'm not doing that. All right, nice to see you. Hang up. All right? It wasn't easy in the beginning, but eventually me and my wife got back on the same page. And I'm only sharing that with you because if he blessed me like that, he could bless you. And what we got to understand is a king and queen's life can make beautiful music when you give God complete control. I want to challenge every king and queen in this house tonight. I want to challenge you, because this is what I told myself back then. I had to challenge myself, and I had to follow through. So I want to challenge every king and queen and every potential king and queen in here. When I say potential, that's because if you have not initiated a relationship with Christ, that means you're a potential king or queen. But those who have a relationship with Christ, I want to challenge you to let God show you his path. Not your path, his path. Because his path is going to be different than your path. Remember Jonah? Jonah wanted to go one way, but God told him to go another way. So you might want to go another way, but let God show you his path. I want to challenge every believer, every king and queen in this house. I want you to have a daring commitment with God to allow him to teach you his ways. When God first encountered Gideon, he called him a mighty valor man, which means he was a man, a warrior. And Gideon said, "What you talking about, God? That's not me. I'm here hiding from the enemy in the wine press." But when God taught him his ways, he became that mighty king. As we read, he was able to kill his enemies. I want to challenge every king and queen in this house to have a declaration of determination to allow God to lead you in his truth. There's too many people in the world saying, "That's my truth." It's one truth we need to follow, and that's Jesus' truth. And his truth will outweigh your truth. I read the words that his ways are better than our ways. Okay, and then one more thing, and then the lesson will be yours. I want every king and queen to be challenged to allow God to lead you in a crusade of being a great character in Christ. Because when you do that, he will keep your soul. You already have the victory to get to heaven. Satan don't want your house. He don't want your money. He don't want things that you have. He wants you to forfeit your victory. Because he wants you to go to hell with him and his enemy, his demons. Only thing you have to do is, you heard the word, you have to believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized, and then you initiate. Now when you do that, you have a religion and a relationship, and you can be successful in your walk. If you have fallen short, you can come up here and ask for forgiveness. Give your hand to man and give your heart to God. Whatever you need to do, you can do it while together we stand and as we sing.